All right, well, let's turn to Zechariah chapter number 7 again. Zechariah chapter number 7. And we're going to be looking tonight at this section. We're looking at it in two parts. The problem of disobedience. The Lord was wanting the people to know here that the things that got their parents and grandparents in trouble and took them away into captivity, they hadn't been really rectified yet. I mean, they spent 70 years in captivity because the Lord said they were going to do that. And it would be real nice if the grandparents had, and the parents had said, you know, look, kids, grandkids, y'all need to make sure that you won't do like Mom and Daddy did or like Grandpa and Grandma did. You need to do right. You need to live right because it got us in a heap of trouble. That's why we're here. That's why we are in Babylon, why we have we're in such a trouble that we in. It's why our land, why the temple was torn down. It's why all the houses and why Jerusalem was destroyed. Our land was laid waste as we looked out the back of the wagons we were carried on to Babylon. We could see everything burning and everything being wasted. And it was the truth. I mean, that's what should have happened. But, you know, Israel never did much do what they should have done. I don't know what happened. I don't know if they were told and they didn't listen, or if they weren't told. And tonight, we're going to be taking a look at some things. Last week we saw four commands or test of spiritual reality that the Lord gave the people there in verses 9 and 10. And they were to execute true judgment was the first thing, or execute judgment based on the truth, either way you want to put it. They were to show mercy and compassion to their brethren. They were not to oppress others, especially those who were more vulnerable, talking about widows and orphans and strangers and those that were poor. They weren't supposed to oppress them. And they were not to imagine evil against a brother. Now, true morality proceeds from right motives of the heart that show up both in one's thoughts and deeds. And the clear inference here is that even though the captivity had ended and this remnant of the people had been restored to the land, there was still a need for many of them, if not most of them, to repent. They needed to turn. They hadn't reached that point yet. They desperately needed to change both their way of thinking and their way of living. They needed to begin to practice from the heart the ethical teaching that we saw last week. And that would turn their fasting that they were asking about. All this came up because they were asking, you know, should we continue the fast? Now that we're back in the land, now that everything seems to be being built back and all, do we need to continue these fasts that we instituted? And well, that's the problem. They instituted them. God didn't now institute them. And they were instituting them because they were, because of the loss, not because of the sin that was involved. And so their fasting was more of a formalistic legalism, and it was hypocritical, really. It wasn't seeking the face of God like it should have been. And embracing the truth in one's inward life, the Lord wanted them to know that's going to be manifested outwardly to those that are around you. Okay. Now, next we see in verses number 11 and 12, the Lord points these folks back to Israel's past. To their parents and grandparents, what got them in the predicament they were in to begin with. We see the characteristics of the rebellion of their ancestors. That's the first thing we're going to look at tonight. The characteristics of the rebellion of their ancestors. Look at verse 11. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. A variety of expressions are used here to convey this thought of what eventually became an obstinate rebellion. The three indictments of verse 11 together with verse number 12 show a strong progression or digression, if you put it this way, of evil. This shows the downward descent of their ancestors, and that is what eventually led to their captivity. And it all began with an improper attitude of the people of Israel regarding the ministry and the messages of the Lord's prophets. The Lord was not slack sending them prophets to let them know, hey, look, y'all need to turn or it's going to get bad. Okay? You need to turn or it's going to get bad. And we see the first characteristic of their rebellion there, verse number 11, the very first part, but they refused to hearken. They refused to hearken. Now we read in Scripture of how the Lord had repeatedly sent his prophets to his people prior to the Babylonian captivity. And through the prophets, they were warned to forsake their sin. They were entreated to turn back to the Lord, but there was a continual refusal to hear and obey the word. As verse 11 states there, but they refused to hearken, means they didn't prick up their ears. You know? They weren't ready to listen. They weren't in any mood to listen. It's like, you know, we don't need to hear this. That was the attitude they had. They acted as if they had not been spoken to. When they were bidden by the Lord's servants to do something, they just simply refused to obey the Word of God. Not only did they persist in their wickedness and injustice, but they refused the frequent admonitions and exhortations that were given them by the Lord. Now understand, it was a deliberate act. Okay? It was a deliberate act on their part, not only of not giving attention to the messages that were being presented, but refusing to act on what was said. Now understand that the word of the Lord by the mouth of his prophets was available, but they deliberately decided not to pay attention. They refused to listen to the Lord's words and thereby refused to mend their ways and repent. Mark your place here. Let's flip to Jeremiah chapter number 5. Jeremiah chapter number 5. We're going to be looking at a few verses here in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 5. And let's notice, let's go ahead and read verse number 1 through 3. For verse 3 is where we want to get. Verse 1 says, run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Notice this. Thou hast stricken them, well, they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. In other words, judgment was already in their midst. The Lord was already working his judgment. It just hadn't got as bad as it was going to get. It's kind of like the days we're living in. Okay, the hand of God's judgment's already on us. But has it gotten as bad as it's going to get? I don't think so. No. Look there. They've refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. And the Lord says there, therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. Look at Jeremiah 8. And let's look at verse number 5. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. they refuse to return. That's why, okay? Look at Jeremiah 11. Jeremiah 11, verse number 10. In fact, we're probably going to read a few more verses than 10. I don't know here. Let's see. Let's go ahead and look at verse number 10 and verse number 11. Verse 10 says, they are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers. Now, understand, okay, let's stop right here. Okay. Their forefathers, the ones that got carried away into captivity, had the opportunity to learn from their forefathers, but they didn't learn from their forefathers. So you see generations of the same sin happening. Refusal to listen to God, refusal to obey, and what happens? Judgment comes. Okay? Let's read it again. They are turned back to the iniquity of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words, and they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Remember that, okay? Remember that verse, because it's going to become relevant here in just a minute. Well, so we see the first characteristic of their rebellion. Back to our text, okay? We'll probably be back to Jeremiah a little bit later, but anyway, we're back in Zechariah right now. And the second part of verse 11, not only does it say there that they refused to hearken, but it says, and pulled away the shoulder. That's the second characteristic of their rebellion. Instead of receiving God's word and serving Him with joyful and glad hearts, they turned from it. The picture in the language used here is of an animal refusing to be bound by the constraint of a yoke and continually rebelling against indicated directions. That's the way they were. The Lord's people constantly refused to give heed to His word, being rebellious against it. They didn't want the control. They didn't want the authority. I want to be my own boss. I'm going to call the shots in my life. Does that sound like today? It does, doesn't it? We see the third characteristic of their rebellion. The third part of verse 11 says, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. This phrase means they literally made their ears heavy. It refers to a persistent refusal to heed God's word, so that the word spoken or preached no longer reached them. They became dull of hearing. Okay? God couldn't get through. They kept refusing to hear so much that after a while it's like there's some noise going on, but I don't hear what's being said. Matthew Henry is quoted as saying, there are none so deaf as those that will not hear. They had hearts and minds filled with prejudices against the Word of God. So they resolved in their hearts that nothing said to them would be considered. And after a while, it was truly not getting through. The phrase, they stopped their ears. You've seen somebody stop their ears, put fingers in their ears? Yeah. Little kid, right? That's what, they were being childish is what they were being. Implies that it was a deliberate refusal to listen to God. And so they personally bore the responsibility for their unresponsiveness. One of the worst consequences of men turning away from doing the will of God is that they have ears, but they don't hear. They have eyes, but they do not see. And yet God will still hold them accountable because of their stubborn unwillingness to hear and to see. Look at Isaiah chapter number 6. Still hold your place there in Zechariah. We'll be back. Okay? We'll be back. Isaiah chapter number 6. And we remember Isaiah 6. I mean, I think most of us, if you've been in church any length of time, you're familiar with what's going on here. Isaiah is seeing the Lord high and lifted up. And man, he's seeing this vision. He saw God and he sensed God. And it grabbed him by his heart, and he said, "Woe is me!" There in verse number 5, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips." Well, you know, if Israel had done the same thing, things would have been better for them. But look at verse number 8, and we see Isaiah surrendering to the ministry here. So also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." So Isaiah is volunteering here for the service of the Lord. And he said, talking about the Lord, he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat," which is what we just talked about a while ago, "and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." And Isaiah, can you imagine surrendering to do the Lord's will, and this is what you get? Well, you're going to preach, but you're not going to be listened to. Yeah, that would be very disheartening. And he said, "Lord, how long?" Then said I, "Lord, how long?" And he said, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate." That's the condition that the land was in when both Israel and Judah had been taken out of the land. Okay. "And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tent, and it shall return, and shall be eaten, and as a teal tree, as an oak, those whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof." The Lord was going to have a remnant. There was just going to be a remnant, even in the midst of all of the unbelief that was there. So we see the third characteristic. Back to our text, we see in verse number 12, the first part of verse 12, we see the fourth characteristic of their rebellion. It says there, "They made their hearts as an adamant stone." Now this implies that they became so hard-hearted that they were blocking out whatever the Lord was saying to them. That's how hard-hearted they were. Persistent rejection of God's word eventually produces a hard, cold, and unresponsive state of heart described here. Let me just pause right here. Yeah? When you sit up under the word of God and the word, you're convicted, the Holy Spirit convicts you of something, and you say, "Well, I'm not going to take care of that." You know what you've done? You just hardened yourself. Okay? And you do that again, you've hardened yourself a little more. And you keep doing that. You know what you do? You get to the point of what we see here. You make your heart as an adamant stone. Notice it says they made their hearts. Okay, they made their hearts. So this persistent rejection of God's word produced a hardened, cold, and unresponsive state of heart described here, and they were morally responsible for their state because they made their hearts that way. Nothing is so hard or so inflexible as the heart of a presumptuous sinner thinking they can, nothing's going to happen to me. Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, don't worry about me, preacher. I'm okay. Go preach to somebody else. I'm okay. You know who they got to thank for their condition? Themselves. The prophet Zechariah warned these Jews to learn from the past. The people who God judged with captivity had hardened their hearts and refused to listen to the words of the Lord. And the long-term disobedience could have only one result. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. That's what it says. Look, read verse 12. Yea, they made their hearts an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in His Spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. The people's disobedience to revealed truth resulted in divine anger. God is patient. He's long-suffering, but He will not be mocked. Look at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 36. 2 Chronicles 36 is really a summary of what God did. If you remember when we were going through the books of Samuel and the books of Kings, and we got down to the end of the books of Kings and the Chronicles, we talked about this, because this is what it culminated in right here. 2 Chronicles 36. Look at verse 14. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which He had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by His messengers, rising up betimes and sending because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. But notice in verse 16, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words and misused His prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people. Notice these words, till there was no remedy. They reached a point of no return. There was a point where God said, okay, they've gone too far. Judgment. Judgment. Notice verse 17. Therefore He brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, talking about the Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Chaldees and the Babylonians are one and the same. The king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into His hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these He brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried He away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. That's why 70 years, okay, was for the land to rest, because they had not kept the Sabbaths that the Lord had told them to keep. So we see the characteristics of the rebellion of their ancestors. And last of all, we see the consequences of the rebellion. Back in our text, back in the text there, verse 13 and 14, here we see Zechariah tells several of the resultant calamities that overtook that disobedient generation. So these are the consequences. Number one, they reaped powerlessness in prayer. They were powerless when it came to prayer. Notice verse 13. Therefore it has come to pass that as He cried, they would not hear. So they cried, and I would not hear. Remember what we read in Jeremiah a while ago? Yeah, I told you I was going to come back with that. Yeah. And would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, but I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them. that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. So they reaped powerlessness in prayer, just as the Lord had cried unto them by his prophets for so long, so often, and so patiently, yet they would not hear. So they cried unto him in their distress for deliverance, and he would not hear. They had been forewarned that if the Lord kept calling to them and they refused to listen, that they would keep calling and he would not hear. That's just retaliation. Amen. It's just. It comes from a just God. That's what they deserved. It's Jeremiah 11:11. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Jeremiah 11:14. Therefore pray not for this people. Told Jeremiah not even pray for them. Neither lift up a cry or prayer for them. For I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. Too late for prayer. Jeremiah 14:12. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by famine and by the pestilence. Isaiah 1:15. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Proverbs 1:22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Proverbs 1:28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Verse 13 there says, therefore it has come to pass. What has come to pass? What the Lord said he would do. Yeah. What the Lord said he would do, he did. God's true to his word. And I think we've forgotten, I'm talking about as a nation, I think we've forgotten that God is true to his word. Yes. Amen. They reap powerlessness in prayer. Number two, they were scattered among the nations there, at verse 14. But I scattered them with a whirlwind. Anybody take a look at the whirlwinds last night that were on the TV? They were wreaking some havoc, were they not? Those tornadoes. See, they were scattered among the nations since they demonstrated no kindness or compassion. God withdrew his kindness and compassion. Instead of hearkening to their prayer, he scattered them with the violence of a tornado among other nations. And then we see the third thing here. Their land was laid desolate. It says there in the latter part of verse 14, thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. The conclusion lays the guilt of the whole desolation of the land upon their disobedient forefathers. It was all their fault. Okay? Since they had violated all the laws of the Lord in their land, the Lord took away all the glories of it. So we have this picture. I want you to get a picture now. We just recently watched that video of Israel coming out of this condition, okay, that we're fixing to describe. Israel is becoming fruitful again, okay, because they're going back into the land. They were scattered abroad, and there's still a lot of that are scattered all across the world being brought back into the land, but there was the land was, it was empty. So we have this picture of complete emptiness and utter desolation. Even the roads were void of travelers, for it was such a wasteland that no one passed through the land back during this time. Okay, if you're going to travel, I don't know about you, when I travel, I like to travel where there's going to be something. Right? I mean, if you want to stop and get some refreshment or whatever, you're going to do that. But you don't want to go through a wasteland. You ever traveled through a desert? A few years back, we had the opportunity. We were we were going to the Grand Canyon, and we traveled through the Mojave Desert, a wasteland. I mean, I wouldn't want to get stuck out there, I can tell you. But here, it was complete emptiness, utter desolation. And the Jews were to blame for it all because of their own wickedness. Their own sin had transformed the pleasant land, the land of desire and delight. The land flowing with milk and honey, it transformed it into a desolate, deserted, and empty land. The hardness and unyieldedness of their hearts turned the land into a hard and unyielding place. That's what caused it. It began in their heart, and it wound up being their land. So their traditions of mournings and fastings that they were asking about were nothing to the Lord in and of themselves, so long as there was no real sorrow for their sin, nor heartfelt desire to do His will as expressed in His Word. You know, the Lord still is looking for obedience. Obeying the Word of the Lord was and still is the most important issue that God's people need to be concerned with. We, as the people of the Lord, need to make sure in these times we live in, it's so easy to get so cynical and so easy to get so wrapped up in what's happening around you that you forget the Lord. Don't do that. Don't do that. Okay? The Lord still has things He wants us to do. Do that. Okay? The Lord has he still desires worship. Come worship. The Lord still desires faithfulness. Be faithful. Okay? The problem is a lot of folks are drifting away from where they know they need to be. We need to get back to the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You so much for